taking a ride on the freedom train.
Your community resource podcast.
I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. The Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization that's aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. And when you're on the website, make sure you click on the tab that says The Code. And when you click on that tab, it's going to show you the codes of conduct that PAX Inc. have created. And they are black codes of social engineering to help black America start loving each other like they're supposed to. You can also get the codes in the format of a calendar, the Black the Way You Came calendar, which is equipped with black history information as well as the codes of conduct. And it's only, and right now it's for the low price of $21.95, and that money is to help PAX Inc.'s summer camps, because they're trying to do their best to get out into the community and build it up. So make sure you go to PACTSINC.org and support PAX Inc. While you're online, make sure you go to our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You know, listen to your favorite shows, listen to the playbacks, and learn more about your host. Follow us on Twitter at FreedomTrainNet. That's Freedom Train Net on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Go ahead and follow us so y'all can stay in the loop and see what we have going on. Like our Freedom Train Network Facebook page. And last but not least, make sure you subscribe to the Freedom Train on iTunes as well as Google Play Music. That way you can get the episodes coming right to your phone. And you ain't got to go search for them because we got you hooked up like that. Yeah, Pat, what it is?
What it do, my natural?
Man, shout out to the gods and earths.
So today is gonna be one of those social commentary shows, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. We're gonna get into a little social commentary. But before we do that, I got a little announcement to make. So on the shows of giants, we have a little trivia going on, right? So let me go ahead and kick the science of this trivia that we have going on. It's called the Know Your History Challenge. And so the rules and everything is simple. You have to go like my own Shows of Giants Facebook page. And you have to be engaged to the Facebook page to participate in the trivia. Now, if you are a Twitter person, we have information on Twitter that you can follow. Just make sure you follow me at On the Shoulders One, as well as Google Plus. Make sure you follow my Own Shows of Giants page. Now, this week we're giving away a free selfie stick. Well, I'm not gonna say we're giving away. You could win a free selfie stick from Be Easy Graphics, and Be Easy Graphics is the company who hooked me up with my nice new logo. So if you go to my Facebook page tomorrow, Wednesday tomorrow, we will be giving you the question to the trivia. All right? So and you'll get all the instructions on how you need to answer it, but I also tell you that right here. You can answer on the whatever the post that's going out with the question, you can answer on that. And you know, we'll get with you. If you are the first person to comment the correct answer, we will get with you and get you your selfie stick. This week you're getting a selfie stick, and we got a whole bunch more prizes and things that we have going on. So make sure you go to my Own Shows of Giants Facebook page, because the month of May, we're giving away free prizes from local businesses in the North Florida and Tallahassee area that we partner with for all the winners of the trivia. So make sure you get you some free stuff. And we will be giving away, well, you could still, let me stop saying giveaway. You could win yourself one of those Black the Way You Came calendars from PAX Inc. if you participate in the trivia. And you got to stay tuned. Remember, you got to go to my Own Shows of Giants Facebook page to see what's going on. So make sure you do that. Just had to plug that, Pat. Yeah, now we can get down to business.
Cool. Nah, that's cool. Well, first up on the docket today, and it's pretty broad. There's a lot, you know, like this can go a lot of different ways. But for those of you that don't know, this past week, the city of Gardendale, Alabama, decided, it's an all-white city, decided that they wanted to secede from the mostly black county school district that they were a part of. So, for those of you that need me to further break that down, basically these white people said, we tired of all white kids going to school with black kids. So they decided to go to court. They had a town vote. Then they went to court with the intention of creating their own school district. Now, this is something that has been done in the past, especially in this area, but in various different areas all over the South, where people have decided that they didn't want to be a part of this whole desegregation thing, of this whole racial balance in the school thing, and that they wanted their kids to be taught amongst their own peers. And this, you know, if you go back to even to the initial efforts and pushes right after desegregation happened and segregation was made illegal in the schools, we saw white flight, the same as we saw in the neighborhoods where you had all these freedom schools and private schools and other schools opening up for these white kids to go to because their parents didn't want them in the class with black people. So that's kind of what we're seeing now, the return of that. It's been happening for a while, but what makes this interesting is that a judge, even though the judge said that it is clear this is racially motivated, the judge still okayed them to move. One of the comments actually made on Facebook by one of the organizers says, non-resident students are increasing at an alarming rate in our schools. These students did not contribute financially. They consume the resources of our schools, our teachers, and our resident students, then go home. And this message is clearly meant to be sent at the black students who are being bused miles away from their own home to go to these schools because the city decided they wanted to desegregate schools. Now, the county decided they wanted to desegregate schools. Now, what is doubly interesting is that...
And this is... What grade level is this?
This is... It's a high school right now.
A public high school?
Looking at, but this is an entire district of schools for... If I'm understanding this correctly, this city wants to have its own school, so that would be K through 12 all the way through. They want to break away from the county school board completely because the county school board, Jefferson County, where the city is located, is mostly black. So the city is a mostly white city and a mostly black county, and the city is trying to break away from the county. Well, the city has gotten approval to break away from the county and create their own school system.
Man, hey, look. Now, give everybody the kicker to the story. Give them the real crazy part to the story.
Well, the interesting part, depending on your perspective, it's crazy to us because we have a certain perspective. But it might not be crazy to a lot of other people that don't share our perspective. But the interesting part is that black people are actually upset and they're fighting. They're fighting to keep their kids in these schools where they're obviously not wanted. One of the things the judge said that I did respect in her statement, she wrote a 190-page decision, was that she decided to allow the schools, the city, to secede from the county school board because she didn't want the black children to bear the brunt of any sort of negative backlash if she blocked the action, which I can respect that. I really can. But, like, for us, again, the crazy part is that black people are actually fighting and upset about this ruling. They're actually mad. They actually feel like their dignity is being insulted by the fact that white people don't want to go to school with them. That speaks to so many different things. Of course, again, I'm gonna say for me, and then I'm gonna shut up so you can go in, Joe, because I know you itching. For me, it's crazy. It illustrates the type of education that our kids are getting and the type of mentality that we still have as a community, where we still think that the only time something is good is when it's white or white-like, white-ish. And so you have a situation where a city full of white people have declared that they don't want their kids to go to school with black children in this all-black county district system. This mostly black county school board system. They've decided that they don't want their kids to go to school as a part of this system. They want to take control of that and essentially have white-only schools. And black people are willing to line up and face the potential backlash and the potential real insults that would come from forcing yourself to be in a place that you're not wanted, just to say you can't run me off. To me, that is so crazy. Like, why wouldn't we just take the opportunities? And I don't understand. This is nationwide. I don't understand why we don't take the opportunities and the initiatives to simply make our schools better. I don't understand why there is always this push to, as they say, break up these pockets of poverty by busing poor non-white kids into all-white, upper or affluent community schools, and then expecting that those communities are going to be okay with it and everybody's just going to play nice and the world is going to keep spinning. We're talking about a cultural difference in terms of race, ethnicity, in terms of finance and economics. You're talking about major, major cultural differences, but you're expecting to just smash out. And the crazy part is, we are willing to sacrifice our culture and our identity just to go to school with white people because we perceive it to be better. I just don't understand why we wouldn't just go about the business of trying to make our schools better. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it kind of... It's like we don't take the opportunities to empower ourselves, and that's an issue. Because it's kind of like, so white people are saying, all right, Negroes, we don't want y'all around us or our kids. Basically giving y'all a chance to do what y'all want to do, teach what y'all want to teach, learn what y'all want to learn, live how y'all want to live, without us messing with you as much as we would mess with you if we was by you. So you can have it. Go ahead, Negroes. Do what you do. And the Negroes like, no, don't leave me. We need you. Am I correct?
Basically, they say they feel like this action insults their dignity and their sense of being a human, because it essentially says that the white parents think that their kids are too good to go to school with black kids. And my thing,
but that's exactly what they're telling them.
Right, and again, how do you combat that by saying, no, my kid is going to go to school with your kid anyway? That doesn't change the feeling that person has.
It's the same as somebody, like if I go to a retail store and the people are treating me like shit, and I'm going to fight to spend my money there. Like, I don't get when we fight to empower white supremacy. I don't like the same thing. Kind of reminded me like when the Donald Sterling thing happened with the Clippers, and all they had to do is sit out. Man, you sit out one playoff game and you'll throw stuff off. And they did. You know, the rhetoric was, hey, well, you play in this game and you show him that he's not gonna stop you from doing this. But if you play, you're gonna make him money. Like, the object is to hurt him, not to help him. So playing is not going to hurt him. Playing isn't saying anything. Like that's what you're supposed to do. You're getting paid to play. Like, you being a good slave if you pay. Same thing with this. They're like, no, master, don't leave me, master. Don't leave. We need you. We ain't smart enough to get along without you. We can't run this town or this, and they just want just the school, right? Just the school district,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just the school.
Man, you got a chance to learn. Y'all got a chance to teach our kids what y'all kids really need to know, and you mad.
But see, here's the thing. It's like to go off of your analogy a little to another analogy, but off the back of yours. That's like if you're in an abusive relationship with somebody that keep punching you in the face every night, and you saying, I'm not going to leave. You can punch me in the face all you want. I'm going to stand right here and take it. Like, that would be crazy if you met a woman that was getting beat by her husband and she said something like that to you. You would be like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. But that's
what we say
every single time, and I think that's because, again, our education system doesn't teach, or we aren't educated to understand what real power is and how to utilize it. All of our stories are about overcoming in the face of adversity and then being given some measure of power by somebody else as a result of that. And those stories don't help us take power and build power for ourselves. So we always... I'm going to play anyway because he, you know, I don't care what he say. I'm going to show him he can't stop me from playing. He's not trying to stop you from playing.
Right. He wants you to play.
You don't even understand the power dynamics that play here.
Now, if you don't play, he don't get money. He wants you to play. He wants to see if you're dumb enough to do it.
But that's the narrative of, okay, are we going to overcome adversity? Or are we going to illustrate our power? And we always choose to overcome adversity instead of choosing, not always, but it seems like most of the time we choose to overcome adversity instead of illustrating or building our own power. In the scenario you mentioned with Donald Sterling, illustrating and building their own power would have been, look, Donald Sterling, you don't have as much power as you think you do because we're not playing, period. That's it. End of the
game. Right.
You can't replace us in this short amount of time, and even if you could, it's not going to be with a team that's going to win. So whatever. And in the case of this school board, you know, like, we're trying to force our children to be in a position to overcome adversity, go to school with a bunch of kids and parents that don't want you there and succeed anyway, instead of illustrating and building our own power. Caveat to that is that, you know, like we always talk about the big three, the three kids who chose to go to school when the schools were desegregated. What was interesting was there were actually, I think, five or six kids that actually got enrolled in white schools to be bused to white schools under armed guard. Two of the parents decided, no, we don't want to roll that way. We're going to keep our kids home. Are we going to keep our kids in all black schools? Why don't we know their names? Those people should be the people on a cultural level that we in the black community are learning about. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hey. Well, no, I mean, it's... it's like we're not trusting ourselves. We don't believe in ourselves. We really believe that we're nothing without white people. We really believe that we need their education. Like, this is unfortunate. I mean, this is Jackie Robinson syndrome at its finest. I mean, that's really what this whole bunch of people know. We want to, because think about it. Like you said, the overcoming adversity story. We love the stories of black people going to the white world and having to fight against the odds to be somebody in the white world and be accepted by white people. I mean, we don't have to do that. Like, we really don't. Like, we continue to go into the white world because we feel like we need the white world. We don't understand the white world needs us. The white world is the parasite, not us. But we've become parasitic over time because we've adopted their behaviors and their culture. And in doing that, they got us messed up.
You know, and the crazy part is nobody, like, I'm thinking about Ruby Bridges in particular right now, who you had the McDonald 3 that went to in Louisiana that, you know, desegregated the school there. And then Ruby Bridges is the little girl in the famous picture of the little girl, elementary school black girl, being escorted to and from school by three or four federal marshals. Why would you think that it's okay to submit your child to that? Yeah, and I'm not criticizing her or her parents. Ruby Bridges is still, she's an activist to this day, working for the black community. So I'm definitely not slandering her or trying to take away from anything or trying to belittle anything like that. But the question still remains, you know, the whole purpose of history is to learn from it and to make better decisions. Like, is it really a good idea for you to force your way and your children into a situation where they are so clearly not wanted? And then the question becomes, is that really progress? Like I said all the time, a black kid sitting next to a white kid in a school is not integration. Mm-hmm. A black kid finding themselves and people that look like them in the curriculum next to white people, that is integration. So it doesn't matter if my black kid goes to school with a white kid and they're both only learning about white people, the school still isn't integrated.
Right. I mean, I don't even think we were even looking at that, because I think, you know, in black people's mind, it's if my child is in this school, then the information is because there's superior information. So if my child is in the school, they have access to the superior information. So everything is all good. They're going to learn what they need to learn. And, you know, just the opposite is happening. Because look at the situation you're talking about. You said Alabama. That's in Alabama, right?
Yeah, this is in Alabama. Gardendale, yeah. Alabama.
I mean, that's how you get situations like that. I mean, the Jackie Robinson syndrome has been passed down for generations and generations. So we feel like we need white America, and we don't like I say, this is a chance for people in Alabama to teach their kids, like, what they want to teach their kids, to give kids the education that they need as black people in America, as black people in Alabama, and you like, no, I want white people to still teach them. Like, that's backwards. I'm sorry. You don't have to like it, but that's backwards.
I mean, even in the documentary, there's a documentary called Schooling the World, which talks about how the model of Western education is going into communities all over the world and basically destroying their cultures.
Right.
And there's a white dude in the documentary. I forget his name, so he's a white dude because he was a white dude. But anyways, he was just like, I could not imagine the arrogance of somebody coming into my community and telling me that they were going to educate my kids in another culture that's better than my own.
Right, and then people, the thing that's even more unimaginable is black people are agreeing to that shit. Still to this day. Right. Like when you read about like the battle at Wounded Knee, it talks about that stuff with the white people, and they would take the Lakota kids and take them into their world and do all that stuff to them. So I mean, white people got a good history of doing that. You know, that's why they send the missionaries in that first wave of warfare. They be at war with us. You don't even know, because it's like an old missionary that messed with that George Jefferson hair. You know what I'm saying? But that's the first wave, because that's the reconnaissance man.
Honestly, I don't even know that. Like, the crazy part for me is I'm not even sure. I think more black people than just us think like this. But I think black people spend a lot of time trying to appear like they don't hate white people. And I think that's why a lot of things are left unsaid. I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion. I think a lot of things are left unsaid solely for that reason. Black people are scared of a white person or somebody coming along and telling them, calling them a racist. It's funny because black people seem to be more scared of being called a racist than white people do. And my thing is, if me wanting to see my community be able to stand on its own two feet makes me a racist in your opinion, then that's fine. Obviously, we're not going to work together anyway. So I don't really care what you think. You know what I
mean?
I don't have no...
That means it's a whole bunch of racist-ass white people. I mean, it's a whole bunch of racist white people out there. So their business on the catering to white people. And then it's a whole bunch of racist black people who think about the black people who, when they start businesses, all the images that they have are images of white people because they say they want to have more of a universal or diverse look. That's bullshit. How the hell your look is diverse, you black, and everybody in your damn website white? How the fuck is that diverse?
Well, they, you know what I'm saying. They facing some internal issues that we could dig into all day. But you know what I'm saying. They're striving for acceptance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying. We know that. But it's crazy to me to think that. You know what I'm saying. And we talked about this a little bit. Like for me, it's simple. If my family is starving and the black community is starving. And your family is starving, and I only have food to feed one family, I'm going to feed my family. I'm sorry. That doesn't mean I hate your family. That doesn't mean I want to kill or destroy your family. That doesn't mean if I had enough to feed both families, I wouldn't. That simply means priorities, my family comes first. And for me, that's all this pro-black thing is, you know, putting black people where they should be first, because things that affect black people affect me as a black person more than things that affect white people. And so I think, you know, in terms of this education thing, like our kids are just educated on how to go about fighting this problem and solving this problem so incorrectly, because we teach them that, you know, the past has all of the answers, and the past has some answers, but it doesn't have all of them because the problems are still persisting. But nobody's, you know, that's when we get into critical analysis and all these other things. You aren't allowed to ask questions or be overly critical of decisions made in the past. You know, we're taught that the civil rights movement was the answer to everything, and the civil rights movement seem to largely be a call for overcoming adversity and achieving a superficial integration instead of black people getting any real power, even though we know that there were people involved in the movement that sought real power for black people. That's not what we got. We got superficial, make you feel good, moral power, justice, the appearance of power. But everything, you know, we actually lost power. It's an interesting thing. They gave us the illusion that we were making gains while stripping resources away from us on the back end. And in a lot of cases, not even like they just stripped them. A lot of cases, we gave it to them. But where is that conversation happening in black schools all over the nation? Is that conversation happening in black schools all over the nation?
Nah. Now, black people are not talking about just willingly giving up our power, because I don't even think black people even realize they're doing it.
They don't, because, you know, everything is about overcoming adversity. Every single thing is about showing white people we're just as good as them. Look, if white people want to, I just don't understand. I understand the logic, I just don't understand how, after all this time, you could still think that that's the way to go. That's the part I don't understand.
Man, look here. I remember having a conversation with a guy, and we were talking about, you know, black people defending themselves against white people. And basically, you know, if white people get violent, you wouldn't defend yourself physically. But I'm sitting there looking at this dude who will fight a black person at the drop of a dime for disrespecting their sexuality. Now I'm like, hold up. So you mean tell me if a white person is trying to physically harm you, you're going to hit them with the Martin Luther King. But if a black person offend you and your sexuality, you fighting. You full of shit. You don't even get it. You have no idea what's going on, and you behind the lines. And by the time you figure out what's going on, it's going to be too late. Just like, but that shows you the amount of self-hatred that we have for ourselves. And like you keep saying, the lengths that we go to prove to white people that, you know, they are superior and that whatever they say goes. And that's just bullshit. Black people, we got to do different. Like, we got to stop. Like, we don't owe white people nothing. White people have to show us that they're human. Like, really think about it from a historical point of view. And if you don't know, like, damn it, go Google. Like, let's really think about it. Let's really get here. Between black people and white people, who are more animalistic? Motherfucking Dracula was a real person. A real white dude. A real white dude. Dracula. Ted Bundy. What's the white dude? Charles Manson. Like, think about it. Like, think about it. Like, white people get mad, go into elementary schools and shoot up little kids, shoot up other little white kids, and stop. They romanticize the stories in the news and things. It's like black people, like, we have to really stop with the bullshit. Like, stop with the bullshit. We don't owe white people a damn thing. They owe us everything. Matter of fact, everybody else in all the other racial groups in the world owe us. They all owe us. Because if it wasn't for us, all the groups in the world who talk down on us and talk bad about us, if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't be able to do half the shit they're able to do in this country and in a lot of places in their own country. A lot of people come over to America and benefit from the shit that we done went through, from the boots that been on our back. They benefit from that, and then we allow them to talk down on us and get away with it. Like, we got to do better. We got to start trusting ourselves and loving ourselves better, because this shit that we got going on ain't working. Like, we don't need white people to survive or to exist. They need us. That's why they keep leeching off us. That's why they keep taking the best of our talents. Every time you're on social media, every month, you see, especially around graduation time, you see those posts about the black people who got accepted into all the top schools in the country, and they keep choosing these white schools, and their parents keep pushing them to choose these white schools. Like, look at what's going on. White people are plucking our talent. They're plucking our talent. You want to know why you don't see all those different types of black people? Because you ain't the type of black person that they've plucked to take out of the community. But they're plucking our talent. And in some respects, even like athletics, we're pushing our talent to their world. And then when we look around, we're mad at what's going on. But then when we get a chance to fix what's going on, we like, nah, we need white people to help us. We got to get our minds right, because we about that bullshit.
I don't know. For me, I don't even focus on all of the other people, because I don't have the energy to do that. Like, right now, I'm trying to build and show black people how to build real power. And I don't have time to worry about what is going on in other communities and how they feel, in particular, how they feel about my community. Like, I don't have time for that, because our goal as a community should be to build a world where their opinions of us don't matter.
Right.
It's hard to build that world when we continue to fight them to remain dependent on them. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. So, it's just, you know what I'm saying? And again, you know what I'm saying? We got this issue going where to say something like that is to be viewed a certain type of way that could hurt your activities in the community. Even in terms of, like, it's so interesting. You have to walk this delicate balance to get stuff done, because on the one hand, you can't be a white apologist, if you will. You know what I'm saying? You got to defend your pro-blackness. On the other hand, you can't be too extreme. Like, Joe, what you said earlier, that's probably too extreme. You know what I'm saying? People will move away from you.
I get that. Trust me, I get that. But it's like, at this point, we got to get over the bull, though. I mean, we have to get over the bull. Like, we got to stop looking for our messages to come so soft and cuddly and all these things. And our dignity is being stepped on. It's been getting stepped on, shitted on. And all we're doing is looking for acceptance from the people who are shitting on us.
True. Show you right. No, I'm right there with you.
I get what you're saying. I truly get what you're saying, because people listen to it and they get offended, because we're in the age of people think that that they're supposed to get offended by everything. So,
well, you know that it's interesting to think about. Like we were talking before the show, you know, about defending our pro-blackness. And it seems like in this day and age, you always have to defend something from someone. Even if, you know what I'm saying, and I'm not understand having to defend your resources and things like that. But sometimes you have to defend the simplest beliefs and values that you might have against the people, you know, are against people that shouldn't even really be interested in it. Like people that shouldn't even really care. Like people that it shouldn't even really matter to. And we come into that world with hard feelings. And I think a lot of us have those feelings. But we're not prepared. We're not willing. We're not able. We don't have the energy for whatever reason. We just opt out of presenting them, which makes people like you or people on the other end of the spectrum or people like myself, when we do speak out, even though a lot of people might agree with what we're saying, they're so afraid of having to defend that agreement or that belief that they'll join the masses that are getting ready to hunt you down and lynch you. It's crazy to think about how much of the world is in shadows, and in those shadows we find the problems that continue to persist that won't be fixed because we refuse to talk blatantly, we refuse to deal honestly, we refuse to deal in an honest assessment of truths and facts, and it's just problematic. All around it's problematic. So that's what I was getting at when I was saying, you know, we have to be careful about how we present, not being too extreme one way or another. And it's sad that it even has to be that way. I should be able to say what I want to say, as long as I can clear it up and back it up with facts, and everything should be cool. Just like I should be able to do what I want to do as long as it's not hurting anybody, and everything should be cool. But when it comes to this racial thing, everybody's so concerned with playing ball along the lines of the status quo. That's where you have black people who are thinking the only way to advance, you know, and I don't think it's the black populace as a whole. I think it's a lot of the black people that are in the spotlight. They seem to think that the only way to advance is to put black people in environments with white people. And to me, that's just crazy to think like that, because when has that ever worked for black people as a whole? We were experiencing our golden era during the time of segregation. You know what I'm saying? During the time where we were forced to, and I don't agree with segregation. I don't think that anybody should be forced to stay in a spot. Like, if you want to go deal with white people, you should be free to go deal with white people. And if you want to stay home and deal with black people, you should have that opportunity to stay home and deal with black people. My preference is to deal with black people. But it's just crazy that, and we're fighting all these superficial problems going back to the school system. Everybody wants to talk about integrating the schools again, integrating the schools. Nobody wants to talk about integrating the curriculum. In terms of businesses, everybody wants to talk about businesses being more diverse. Nobody wants to talk about the funding and the resources that go into starting a business, going to more diverse communities, going to black communities and other non-white communities out there so that they can start and grow their own economic structures. Like, nobody seems to be interested and really pushing those initiatives. And I'm not saying nobody as in absolutely nobody. I'm saying the people that actually have the power and the capabilities to do it in the black community and the white community. Because in a lot of these all-black towns, people are still living in the same conditions, if not worse conditions.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, like, how depending on white people has made anything better for us. I mean, white people are supposed to pick our talent, cause especially if we allow them to. They're supposed to, that helps their survival, that helps their advancement. But we're not supposed to just offer up our damn people for crumbs. Like, they get the bulk of it, and we just happy with the crumbs because it's better than the crumbs that we used to get. It's a little more crumbs. It's a little bigger crumbs, but it's not the whole damn loaf like white people are getting. And we don't see that because we don't think, like I keep saying, we're playing Uno at the chess table, man, at the chessboard. We got our Uno cards out and trying to make people draw four and everybody looking at you crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very accurate analogy. I mean, but it's still, even when you say that, trying to get people to understand, you know what I'm saying, that this is not the way to do business. This is not the way, and it hasn't been working. Like, that's my thing. Like, it's not even like it's not working. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is not working. Our community now is worse off than it was in a lot of respects when slavery was terminated.
Our mindsets are horrible. Because it's like, and I agree, because like we have the means to do what we need to do for ourselves, and we don't even want to do it because we really feel like we need white people. Like, we have to have them in our lives to be successful.
Well, you know, even to that, like, you know, you keep talking, like, even in terms of the boycotts and everything, everybody keeps saying, we're going to punish white people. That is not a good motivation for activist activity. That is not punishing white people. If that's your goal as a black activist, you are not a black activist.
It's like the child saying, I'm going to punish my parents for what they did. And then you ain't got no resources to punish your damn parents. So you're like, I'm not going to talk to you for a day. Okay.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to, and beyond that, like, we refuse to accept the fact that we don't even have the economic means to affect them on that level.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we have enough money to build our community. If we aggregate it and concentrate it, we have enough money flowing through our community to make drastic changes within our community very quickly. We don't have enough money to make white people hurt enough to feel bad about the things that are doing, the systems and the structures that are set up to make progress for us more difficult in their world. We don't have the kind of money to do that. But instead of us focusing on building us, we spend all of our energy focused on changing them. And again, I boil everything back down to the person-to-person level. How crazy is that? When somebody that you know doesn't like you, you don't go out of your way to make them like you. You just stop fucking with them. Oh, all right, you don't like me, cool. We ain't got a problem.
Right. You see it on, you see people on Facebook all the time talking about the cutting people loose. But
right.
You can't cut white people loose, huh?
Right.
You can't let that damn Chick-fil-A go, huh?
And it's even crazier that we got to make this distinction, but we have to make it, so I'm going to make it. Obviously, we're not talking about all white people. You know what I'm saying? When I say white people, I'm talking about white culture. I'm talking about a culture. I'm not talking about your next door neighbor Bill or your best friend Judith. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the culture that they live in. And cultures affect different people on different levels with different levels of intensity. So there are white people out there that get it and they're blah, blah, blind to fight for the cause. And there are white people out there that don't get it. But as a whole, their culture is very hostile towards black people, towards any non-white person.
Hey, so man, look here.
I had to make that clarification because otherwise people would be like...
Nah, I mean, I get you because people would come, oh, you guys hate. Look. We ain't got no time to go around worrying about hating on and doing all this and not liking individual white people. We ain't got no time for that. But we do understand the collective consciousness of what's going on. We do understand the oppression. We do understand that you can't say that I'm a white person who's against racism, but when racism is happening, your ass ain't doing that. We do call you out. We gonna call you out on some stuff like that. But we understand that every white person is not sitting there trying to bring black people down. We do understand that it's some white, and we know some white people who fight harder for black people than black people. Hell, Rachel Dolezal fight harder for black people than most of y'all listening.
Well, she did before she got outed in the past.
But think about it. Like now the thing is, what has the NAACP done since they kicked Rachel Dolezal out? But I digress because I had to go off on that. I just had to say that real quick. But we don't. It's not like if you taking it that way, that's your fault. I mean, hey, I don't know. We just gave you as many explanations, like whatever. But we're not gonna hold our tongues, and we're not gonna act like racism don't exist, and we're not gonna act like white people don't. That you do have a good number of white people. You have more white people turning a blind eye to racism than you have white people that's actually standing up against it, and that's a fact. So, it is what it is, man. We're here to speak truth, man. And if you offended, I'm offended that you offended. We could play the offense game. I'm for real. Next time somebody come up, what you said offended me. Well, hell, I'm offended that you got offended by what I said. So let's see who can be offended the most.
I can dig it.
But I mean, you know, and he ain't trying. We kind of, you know, we going off and having a little fun with some of that stuff. But in reality, on the real, this is not a game to go take out individual white people. But we do understand the collectiveness of what's going on, and we stand against oppression and racism. We stand against any form of brutality and inhumane treatment. But we are for our people first.
Most definitely.
And if you're a person that try to come out and say that we don't like white people or whatever it is, I can guarantee you, even if you white, I can guarantee you we've helped more white people than you have this year. I can guarantee you that. So this is not no, oh, well, they just doing this. Nah, man, we speaking truth. Because think about it, the whole tone is black people, and we talk about our black people. We talk the truth about our black people too, because that's the whole tone of this whole conversation is black people having a chance to empower themselves and do what they need to do for themselves, but they're acting like they need white people to succeed, and that's not true. Black people don't need white people.
You know, the most disturbing thing about the fact that we have to make these clarifications and announcements.
Yeah, you know, it's mostly for black people, though. You know that, though, right?
That's
yeah.
The most disturbing thing. Because if it was just white people that would get offended, I probably wouldn't care, really. I probably wouldn't make them at all, as long as black people understood what I was saying. But we got to make these statements for black people that won't get it. That'll, oh, I ain't listening to them because they hate white people. Wait a minute. You know, and then the question should be, okay, how does that affect you? You know what I'm saying? Like, Gandhi hated black people. We still worship him.
Ah, man. We don't even really do our real research, so we don't even know that Gandhi didn't like black people.
You know, and we go down the list of all of these different people throughout history that have despised and done deplorable things to black people. But everybody still worships them and seeks out things with their names on them. But, you know, you let a black person say black people need to put black people first, and all of a sudden you got black people. So, nah, I can't bang with that. Nah, everybody should love everybody. Okay.
But they don't never go to the Klan. They don't go to the Klan saying that, though. You never see nobody go up to no Klan members. Come on, you guys should love everybody.
Well, you know, we love, and we've had this conversation before. We love doing stuff like saying stuff to us that we've never said to anybody else under any other circumstance. You know, like we mentioned earlier, before the show, or maybe in a previous conversation, we were talking about the fact that kids, whenever you start talking about creating an all-black school, inevitably somebody is going to come out of the woodwork and say schools need to be diverse because black kids are going to have to deal with white people in the workplace. But you never hear that discussion when you start talking about all white schools. You never hear that discussion when you start talking about same-sex schools, you know what I'm saying? All girls schools, all boys schools.
Right. You and see, that's the main, that's like the same-sex schools is the one, like, you want a real reality check? Like, I'm not for same-sex schools because that's not the real world. Like, I want my son to know how to react and how to function when good-looking women around. I still have to focus. Like, I don't, damn all that.
But you never hear that excuse for those schools. Same with Christian schools or other religious schools. You never hear that same, religious schools should let other religions in because when those people get
diverse
in the workplace. You never, the only time I've ever heard that argument is when it's in regards to black people being in an environment with all black people. Well, you need to get used to being around white people. So I don't need to get used to being around people of different religions. I don't need to get used to being around people that are a different gender. I don't need to get used to dealing with people that are other cultures that are non-white. I only need to get used to being around white people.
Right.
Okay.
But you know, like we said earlier, it's people that are doing their best to sing and dance and play the role and because I mean, and let's just be real, those people they're really pretending like they ride for white people because they really don't do shit for white people. Let's just be real, like they really do nothing for white people. Like if a white person was in help and like really needed help, that black person wouldn't do shit for them because that black person wouldn't do shit for themselves or their family members or anything else. So a lot of those people are just talking because they don't want the look of, oh my God, I'm a bad person, because they're not gonna do anything for anybody. Most of the majority of those people, so they're really just talking. So it's like, you know, we don't go out of your way to try to make people not think that you are a bad person. If somebody come up with that idea of you, whatever, man, like, make sure your actions show your true character. But you know.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do, and all we can do is keep trying to do it. But it you know, you have situations like this situation in the school in Gardendale where you have a very clear message that's being sent again, because this isn't the first time this has happened, and it won't be the last time it's going to happen. So you have these very clear messages that are being sent basically repeatedly, and you have us refusing to accept these statements, refusing to accept these messages, and wanting to overcome the adversity. And it's not like overcoming adversity is a bad thing. I don't want anybody to say that, as I assume we're getting ready to wrap up. I don't want anybody to think that, I don't want anybody to think that overcoming adversity is a bad thing. The thing is, you have to look at what you're overcoming the adversity to achieve. If you're overcoming the adversity to achieve real power, meaning you're fighting for your voice to matter, for you to have a hand in the creation of something that is going to sustain you and your people, then that's adversity that's worth the effort. If you're fighting to be around somebody that doesn't want you there and that
that's
is going
issue.
To continue to degrade you and belittle you and attack you after you've won, then what are you fighting for? Even after you've won, you still lost. All you've won is more time to suffer and endure oppression and treatment that you shouldn't have to endure. Jackie Robinson came into baseball and he overcame and he endured all of this and all of that, only for the next players after him to endure the same shit.
Man, it's 2017 and they just let an African in baseball. But guess what? That's not going to do for the continent of Africa as a whole. Because what is MLB doing for black people? How is the Major League Baseball helping black America get better? What are they contributing to black America? Nothing but snatching up our damn talent like white people always do. Like white culture always do. Snatch your talent. So.
Show got kind of somber, didn't it?
I mean, it did, but we're telling the truth. So. I mean, what y'all want? Y'all want to keep living a lie and keep losing? I mean, if so, then this not the show for you to be listening to, because that's not what we coming from. So.
You feel me?
I'm just saying, man, you know, we gotta do better. We have to do better. We have to do different. We got to change the way we exist. We got to change the way we walk, we talk, we think. We got to trust ourselves. Black people, trust yourselves. You can do it. You don't need nobody else to do it for you, black people. Keep sitting there waiting on a savior. Nobody gonna save us, black folk. You've been told this over and over, and I'm not saying nothing new. Everything, matter of fact, a lot of stuff we saying, we ain't saying nothing new that you ain't heard over and over. We ain't saying nothing new that ain't been said in the 1800s about us in the 1700s. Like, what we're saying is nothing new. But the fact that we still have to say it is the issue, so we're gonna keep saying it till we get it. We don't need nobody for us to be where we need to be and to get where we need to get and go where we need to go. We don't need other people. They need us. I repeat, they need us. So let's act like we love ourselves enough to uplift ourselves, to make our situation better. Hey man, if white people don't want to be around you, if Asian people don't want to be around, hey, if other black people don't want to be around you, cool. Trust yourself enough to build yourself up and to know that you can do any damn thing that you want to do. Work together. As long as black people working together, we win. As long as we trust and love in ourselves, we win. When we stop doing that, we lose. Make your mind up.
And there it is.
Hey, man, for the 99 and 2000. But quick enough, I just want to say this announcement again. Our On the Shoulders of Giants Know Your History Trivia Challenge is on for the month of May. So make sure you visit my On the Shoulders of Giants Facebook page for details. Tomorrow we will be putting out our question, and you can go to answer the question. You can use my material that I put out, my blog and all of my African history material to get the answers to the questions. So you can post the answers to the questions on the actual post that the question is on. And this week, you have a chance to win you a free selfie stick from Be Easy Graphics. And make sure you learn more about Be Easy Graphics by visiting their website at b-easygraphix.com. b-easygraphix.com. Be Easy Graphics. They hooked me up with my live On the Shoulders of Giants logo and all the different variations and things. So, you know, and they got all type of things that they can do to help you grow your business and make it better. So make sure you tune in. But go to my On the Shoulders of Giants Facebook page to participate in I Know Your History Challenge. and it's going down to the go down. You got any announcements you want to make, Pat?
Power to the people.
Power to the people. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.